Now we come down, beginning here at verse 3, warning against unsound doctrine. And doctrine's very important. We said in this epistle that it's creed and conduct. And your creed must be right before your conduct can be right. You can't think wrong and act right. That's almost an impossibility. I sometimes get back of a driver, and ladies forgive me for saying this, but a man said to me, well, a long time ago, he said to me that when a woman who's driving puts out her hand at a crossing, what does that mean? Well, I said, I don't know. Well, he says it just means one thing, the window's down, that's all. You don't know because sometimes she signals she's going to turn left and she turns right and the other way. And the interesting thing is that men do the same thing. But when you do that, your thinking and your acting will cause a great deal of difficulty. But you cannot keep on in this life thinking wrong and act right. So now he says here in verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, teach no other doctrine actually should be that they do not teach a different doctrine. And as Paul said to the Galatians, you remember, he said that there is actually no other gospel. These Judaizers are preaching another gospel, but he says, actually, there's no other gospel. There's only one, and doctrine is the same way. Now, I assume that doctrine here, and the word, by the way, means the teaching of the church. And what is the teaching of the local church? What should it be? Well, it should be what it was at the very beginning, in the day of Pentecost, it says, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In fact, there were four things that characterized that church: the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship and prayers, and in breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. Those were the four fingerprints of the visible church, and I think they are today. A church is not a church if its doctrine is not the apostles' doctrine. Now, our interpretation, I recognize that many of us disagree, but as a very fine, outstanding Pentecostal preacher here in Southern California said to me, and he's an outstanding man. I have had lunch with him. We've talked over what we agree on and what we disagree on, and it's not as severe as some of you seem to think. But he said to me, he says, Dr. McGee, we agree on so much, and we agree on that which is basic. Therefore, we ought not to fall out on things that actually are not the essential things. And I agree with that, by the way. My feeling is today that I'm sorry that everybody doesn't believe like I do, but they don't. But basic, there are certain basic truths, and that would be the apostles' doctrine, their understanding of the Word of God. They taught plenary, verbal inspiration of the Scripture, the integrity, the inerrancy of the Word of God. They taught the deity of Christ. And by the way, we're going to see that Paul, in this epistle here, has an exalted view of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that say he never taught the deity of Christ. Well, of all things, that's the one thing that Paul's as clear on as the noonday sun. He's clear on the deity of the Lord Jesus. And what do you think he meant when he said, and grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord? He's certainly putting him right along by the side of God our Father, and he's making him God there. But we'll see that again and again in this epistle and these pastoral epistles. Now, he's saying here, and he's talking to this young man, Timothy, he says, I've left you in Ephesus. Ephesus was a very important center. Paul spent more time there than any other place, had his greatest ministry there. And he said, I want you, young Timothy, to stay there in Ephesus, and I'll be in Macedonia. and they sure needed straightening out up there, that thou mightst charge some that they teach not a different doctrine. That was the important thing. The teaching of the church must be right. If it's not right, then it's not a church. And I don't care how many deacons and elders and ministers and song leaders and choirs and Sunday school you have. If the doctrine is not there, it's not a church. That they teach no doctrine that's different. Now, that's the thing that he's saying here.